It's almost the end. Fall term has only 2 weeks left. It's almost over. The growing season is in its final days. The morning chill tells us that any night now could bring the first widespread killing freeze, ushering in the dead gray of winter. The church year itself is winding down, and the pericopes are taking on a decidedly sober and ominous tone. I guess it's just that time of the year, almost the end. And so it's not all that surprising that in today's reading we find Paul at the same place, almost the end. It's a little disconcerting to think of Paul there at almost the end. We'd rather think of Paul going full tilt, traveling, writing, debating, proclaiming the gospel. But there is a wonderful consistency to Paul's story. "I will show him," the Lord had said, "how much he must suffer for my name." And so he did. And so Paul did. Suffer, that is. You remember his litany in 2 Corinthians. 39 lashes, 5 times. Beaten with rods, 3 times. Shipwrecked, 3 times. Stoned, once. And the list goes on. And so when Paul finally arrives at almost the end, when he's already being poured out like a sacrificial libation, well, we completely understand that he reflects back on just how much he had suffered for Christ's name. And in that context, our verses from 2 Timothy 4 sound positively triumphant, a justified declaration of victory. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Indeed, he had. He had done what he had been given to do. The faith had been preserved, the course had been run, the fight had been fought, all the agony had been endured, the crown of righteousness was waiting. It's remarkable, wonderful, that Paul can be so confident waiting there before his trial, before his imminent execution, waiting there at almost the end. Still, something about this text hits me just a little sideways. Something about it seems not quite right. Now, that's really not true, because I know exactly what it is about this text that bothers me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You heard it. It's that repeated, insistent, first-person singular verb. I. Yikes. Sounds positively egocentric. From St. Paul? And it's not just my Lutheran sensitivities that lead me in this rather critical direction. Even Oswald Chambers could declare without qualification, "It is a shameful thing for a Christian to talk about getting the victory." We all know better. We can't do what needs to be done. Christians don't talk about finishing and fighting and winning, do they? Maybe it's just my own self-awareness that makes me so uncomfortable with Paul's confident statements. I know my own limitations, my own temptations, my foibles, my sins. And in the face of my daily, hourly reality, Paul's words seem too unlikely, maybe even fanciful. And how about you? Do you resonate with Paul's statements? Are you ready to use those first-person singulars the way that Paul did? I have fought the good fight. I have run the course. I have kept the faith. Can you say that? If today was almost the end for you, could you say what Paul did? It's hard to be that confident, that certain, isn't it? The first person singulars are hard to use. They kind of stick in your throat. Sometimes the agon, the struggle, the agony of life just takes its toll. And you don't emerge triumphant. You grow weary of the relentless grind of the routine. Too many pages to read, too many papers to write, too many bills to pay, too many demands to meet, too many people imposing their agendas on you, too many rules, too many temptations, too much tension, too much expected, too much pressure, too much hassle, too much pain, too much. It's not easy staying on task. It's not fun having to grind out life. It's harsh, it's hard, it hurts. Paul can say, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race and I have kept the faith. But my first singulars would probably need to sound more like, I have cowered from the challenge. I have quit the race. I have compromised the faith. Indeed, I have sinned. What have you done? What verbs follow appropriately behind your first person singular pronouns? Perhaps the problem is that you're fighting the wrong fight. Instead of the good fight of faithfulness to God's will, maybe the problem is you're fighting for your own self-preservation, your own self-promotion. Instead of God's good fight, you're caught up in the relentless, the impossible battle to justify yourself, to vindicate, to affirm your own personal being, your own worth, your own sense of place in the world. And in that fight, you relentlessly struggle with instinctual tenacity to assert yourself and your ideas over others. You fight to defend yourself from any perceived threat. Along with everyone else, you do what comes naturally, and you fight to indulge yourself and to fulfill your desires to justify your existence. It's the wrong fight. Fighting the fight of selfishness always ends the same way, in crushing defeat. And so what have you done today? Have you fought the good fight, run the race, kept the faith? Or have you fought for yourself, dropped out of the struggle to follow God's course, and neglected the faith? What have you done? For all of his almost-the-end confidence, Paul was also one who knew the reality of his own limitations and his own failures. Even after his Damascus revelation, both the one on the road and in the one in the baptismal waters, Paul still knew the hard truth about his own inability and his own sin. And so how could the chief of sinners, who did not do the good he wanted to do, but instead did the evil he did not want to do, how could Paul, at almost the end, have such brash confidence, declaring his accomplishment with those first-person singulars? Well, Paul could do it, because while he knew his sin, he also knew the one who had appeared to him, the one who had delivered to him stunning grace, in the form of forgiveness and redemption that he could have never imagined. And so all that Paul subsequently did, he did in the light of that epiphany, that appearing, that revelation, that reality of Christ, Christ forgiving and Christ transforming him. When Christ met and claimed Paul, everything changed. And so it is for you. You know your sin. You know your failure. It weighs heavily. But you also know Christ's appearing. Christ appearing his epiphany to you. At the font, at the altar, just as he promised. He comes to you and he forgives and he transforms and he redeems you. It's as real for you as it was for St. Paul. The Lord appears to you, for you, and in the light of that reality, nothing is the same. In the light of that reality, the first person singular declarations, those are also redeemed. I cower, I quit, I compromise, becomes I fight, I run, I keep. There's nothing egocentric about it at all. Like Paul's declarations of confidence, you also declare the reality of what your faithful Lord works in and through you in spite of your own inabilities and your own failures, in spite of your own crummy attitude. It is true for you, just as it was true for St. Paul. It is true for you today as you sit here at almost the end. Well, a quarter at least. Today, you fight the good fight. Today, you run the race. Today, you keep the faith. You live in faithfulness. You delight in the reality of His appearing to you. And today, you wait with certain expectation for one last epiphany, one last appearing, when the Lord of grace and forgiveness and righteousness comes to crown with righteousness His work of creation, when the Lord comes to crown with righteousness you, His creation. Amen.